Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, who has a very high standing and a special standing amongst the Sahaba, the companions, he is the narrator of this hadith, and he states that one individual, he asked or requested, he puts forward a question to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the biggest sin of all? And another hadith, it stated that himself, Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, put forward this question to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that what is the biggest sin of all? Now this is a very beneficial subject for us to learn, and especially with relation to this opportunity, this time that we're sitting in. This is a great hadith. And obviously, when a Sahabi, a companion, is asked, then the Holy Prophet ﷺ will give the answer. So then we are benefited, and we will then realize that what is the biggest sin? The biggest, this is the word, the biggest. Then foolish will be that person who in this month of Ramadan, in such a great opportunity, great time, if a person is busy in that sin, then do tawbah, forgiveness will come. And if a person isn't busy, or you could say doing that sin, then be careful and cautious for the future. This is very good that we have an awareness. We realize that, for example, there's an illness, a bad illness, the doctors give the warning shout. Then a person, if he is suffering from that illness, then he should be taking hold of the cure for that illness. And if a person is in danger of committing that sin, then should be careful and cautious. And we say, yeah, this person is a person of understanding, who is aware what's good and bad. So today, if we realize what is the biggest sin of all, then shouldn't we try to save ourselves from this sin? And if it doesn't occur, may it not occur, may Allah Ta'ala not allow it to occur, that this sin is in our life. But if it is, then can there be a better opportunity than this? Then Allah Ta'ala's rahmah and doors of mercy open. Allah says, ask me and I will forgive you straight away. Then that person will be forgiven. And when a bigger sin is committed, or the biggest sin is committed, may it not occur, may not occur, may Allah Ta'ala not allow it to occur, may Allah forgive. And we realize that this is the biggest sin of all. And then on top of sinning and carrying out the sin, and then if maut comes, if death comes, will the adab be small? The bigger the sin, the bigger the punishment. So where will that person then go? Who will he ask for help from? How will we save ourselves? Tell me. So to read this hadith, in reality, this is information. And it's not just information, but we go beyond that. We need to not just consider it as data that we hear the hadith and that's enough. No, a person listens to a hadith or hears a hadith or reads a hadith, then practices on the hadith. That's when the benefit is there. The person who is speaking or reciting should speak that I am discussing today and speaking that if one person today corrects himself, then I also will get the success. Yeah, that this is the way that the deen continues, and this is the way that the deen travels in the world, and this is the way that the deen spreads in the world, that somebody is trying to explain, others are listening, and people improve. Now, when this question was put forward, then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, biggest sin, the biggest sin that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, that sin that we don't even think about. And remember this point, that we don't even consider. Is it? How can it be we don't consider the biggest sin? How can it be that we don't think about it? But when it was told, then the Prophet ﷺ is telling the mu'mineen, isn't he? Or is Rasulullah ﷺ telling those who don't have iman? So it's for the mu'mineen, for those who have iman. If somebody says to you or tells you, you'd slap his face and say, I'm not doing this sin. And this has happened here once before. So somebody was explaining, and nowadays it's very hard to explain or advise someone or to give a warning to somebody. They will reject it. So brothers, nobody will accept that I'm doing this. And this sin in me? No, no, no. How can it be I'm doing this sin? No way. It's not possible. Tell me, what can that sin be? Tell me. Aql won't accept either. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us the biggest sin of all. The biggest sin. What is that sin? Shirk. Shirk. Allahu Akbar. What is the sin? Shirk. And we say, shirk? How can it be that I'm doing shirk? La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. I recite the kalima. I've recited the kalima. How can it be that I've done shirk? So the true mu'min, the Muslim, he says, I've just come back from Hajj and Umrah, but Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the biggest sin is shirk. And shirk, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, then it means that it is possible we carry out the action of shirk. So my brothers, shirk definitely is most possible, it is the fact that a person can carry out shirk. And if somebody implements shirk, then what will be the hal of that person? What will be the conclusion? Where will that person go? Where will that person go? So the Quran tells us this. Allah Ta'ala mentions carefully, وَدَعُوهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. This is what Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran. That don't do shirk, do my ibadah, فَعْبُدُوا مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. And what do? We have said, oh Allah, we recited La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, we have broken the statues, we become Muslims, and we used to prostrate to the idols and the statues, and there were thousands of gods we had, and we considered them as God, as Lord, and we ascribed partners to Allah, and we're saying now La Allah. So we're saying there is no other God. Then Allah gives an answer. You've said La to all of the statues and the idols, but there's still one idol present within you. There is still an idol present within you, and that is the idol of your nafs, of your desires. Have you said La to your desires? Yes. Yes, I have. Is it? Tell me honestly, Allah Ta'ala says. Tell me honestly. Have you rejected your nafs? You have broken all of the physical idols and you have broken all of the statues, everything that you used to worship. Fair enough. There's no doubt in that, Allah Ta'ala says. But Allah says, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ. Allah is saying, وَدْعُوهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Allah, Allah. Allah says, beware, beware. Remember this point. That Allah's deen is khalis. What is my deen? Allah Ta'ala says, it is khalis. Allah's deen is khalis. Allah says, my deen is pure. No, Allah, I don't say that I worship anybody or any other idol, etc. I don't ascribe any partners to Allah. So one is the idol which is hidden within you, that you have embraced to your chest, that you are nurturing and bring up. No, Allah, I don't have any idol that is with me. Allah says, what is the definition of Allah? Tell me, Allah Ta'ala says, the person who has accepted Allah is the Rabb and Khaliq. Allah says, define yourself, who is Rabb? Who is your Lord? So the man, he defines his belief that when I recited the kalama and after reciting the kalama, I accepted Allah, then I surrendered myself to you, O Allah. Allah says, how? That I am worse than the ghulam, than the servant. Allah, I am so simple and low now. I've become yours totally. That whatever you say on my body, on my ruh, you are the master, the owner, the king. And everything will respond to you. There's no other king who can come, no other master, no other lord, nobody else's order. Allah will be your order. Upon your hukum, upon your orders, everything will occur, Allah, in my life. That is what we said when we recited the kalama and then we were detached from shirk. Brothers, is this how we have come away from shirk or not? If we don't say this statement, then we say, no, this is not the case, Allah. I don't believe in these points I've just said, but the rest, everything, yes, I believe, Allah, I believe in you. So will Allah accept this iman from us? No. So Allah has said, Allah has told us that you've announced yourself. Allah, all orders will be followed. Your orders will be followed. Your hukum, Allah, and I will respond. You are the Malik and I am the Ghulam. You are the Lord, you are the King, the owner, and I will respond to your statements and your orders. Allah says, fine, as long as this occurs, then you are included in the Mukhlisin. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah says, Salamun ala Ibrahim. Allah Ta'ala says, Kadhalika ajral muhsinin. Subhanallah. Now the Muhsin, that Allah Ta'ala has given his name, that look at my Ibrahim, look at my Prophet, he is khalis, pure. He was Mukhlis. He was pure from shirk. And Allah Ta'ala says, sincere in your faith. كَذَلِكَ أَجْرُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says that when my servant becomes khalis and sincere and free from shirk, then what happens? كَذَلِكَ Allah Ta'ala says, then who gives the ajr? Who gives the reward? Allah says, I give. Look at the ajr I gave to Ibrahim, my prophet. Such a big reward I gave him upon being sincere and pure. Such a big reward that from his generations, from his offspring, I gave the prophets to mankind. From his offspring, from his descendants, look at the maqam, the great status Allah gave to us, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Has any other Nabi attained this reward? So this is reward, Allah says. كَذَلِكَ that this is the ajr. Is there any other ajr greater than this? Fair enough. As Ibrahim alayhi salam constructed the Kaaba, and alhamdulillah, and many other orders and directions of Allah Ta'ala that he implemented, and everything is coming due to the sadaqah of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. But the azim ajr that Allah Ta'ala gave to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, that from his descendants he gave the prophets to the ummah. Allah Ta'ala made the prophets the offspring, the descendants of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. So this is the ajr azim Allah Ta'ala gave, the great ajr. So shirk, the sin of shirk. Allah Ta'ala says, you don't accept, you know Allah, I do, I believe in you, and I will listen to all of your orders. But when a person then contradicts that statement, that he listens to Allah Ta'ala's order, and then who does he obey? From within the batin. So we listen to the zahir externally, we listen, we read, and we hear that Allah Ta'ala's order is this, but then we always respond to the nafs. And my brothers, does this ever occur? And this is happening. This is occurring. Allah Ta'ala's order comes, and from within the nafs says, no, 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 don't carry out this order of Allah, listen to my order. So who is the God then? Allah or my nafs? Who is my God? Think. I have to ask myself, is my nafs not my God at that time? So wherever there is a clash with Allah Ta'ala's order, if Allah is ordering something and we do not accept, Atiullah wa atiur Rasul, Allah says, follow me and my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have to, Allah Ta'ala says, Atiullah faqad faza fawzan azeema. The Quran has told us clearly that Allah Ta'ala's obedience is the obedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my Rasul, my Nabi. What a great, great maqam. So whose hukum is this? Whose order is this? Some mulana sahib, a scholar, an imam sahib, a sheikh sahib, a Nabi, a Prophet of Allah, a wali Allah? No, Rabbul Alameen. Allah is ordering this. And the person who rejects this hukum, he will commit shirk. Because who is he listening to? Who is he obeying? His desires from within. His nafs, his base desires, his carnal desires. So the nafs gives us hikmah, produces excuses. It's cowardly, it's scared, afraid of the scenario and the environment around us. And a mukhlis, a sincere person, will never consume haram. Never will a khalis, a pure, sincere person, go towards haram or consume haram. He'll say, no, 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 hunger is better. Allah's hukum is don't eat haram. How can I eat haram? How can I consume haram? Will he consume haram? No. No, 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 what can I do? It's too hard for me. I've got children. I've got to bring them up. I've got to feed them myself. And this is the drama. That then give your prostration. Prostrate upon prostration. Ibadah upon ibadah. But the biggest sin is what? Shirk. Shirk. Now we need to look inside ourselves. Ramadan is here, my brothers. Am I a mushrik or am I a mu'min? And let me ask from the kitab of Allah, that how many orders of Allah do we obey and how many orders of the nafs do we obey? In Ramadan, the fasting month, we obey our nafs. We worship our nafs. Go home and see inside the houses. There are so many things, items that Allah Ta'ala has defined as haram. Allah says, I don't like, I dislike these things. Allah said that these are bad things. That we just select a few actions that we like. What is our role? We select a few things that we like. For example, we say, oh, yes, 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 let's embrace this action, this about them. We throw the rest of the deen away. Is this deen? No. Allah says, Allah, beware, beware, beware. Allah says, my deen is khalis, the pure deen, the sincere deen. Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. And the shirk, the action of shirk, to ascribe partners to Allah, to attach partners to Allah. We've seen how dangerous is the nafs, and the action of shirk keeps us as people without iman, doesn't bring us towards iman. Big nights and great days and nights pass, and great doors of tawbah that are open, they close and pass before us. But shirk does not come out from within us. We are the worshippers of our nafs, of our desires, of our base desires. Wherever is an opportunity to please the desires, we please the desires. We obey the desires. And when we have to bow and submit to Allah, even to submit to Allah, a person submits to Allah according to his nafs. Remember this point. When the nafs gives us permission, then we will come to Fajr. Otherwise, we won't go to Fajr Salah. Nafs says, okay, now you fulfill your sleep. Now go to the masjid. People don't want them to start thinking that you've left iman or you've become weak. Go and do prostration today. So the person will seek permission from the nafs. His ibadat, his worship. Who will tell him or instruct him? The nafs will tell him. Oh, yaar, you'll enjoy yourself. Okay, let's go today to salah. We'll enjoy it today. I'm relaxed now. And do this ibadah, do that ibadah. Yes, you can do this now. There's no problem. So Allah Ta'ala gives us timings and a schedule. Allah says, I desire that you do this ibadah at this time. And the nafs won't allow us to do that. and then we'll make excuses and fatwas and we'll stand up. So this is dhikr as well, that's dhikr as well. I don't have to come to this dhikr. I don't have to do this time. And even those who do dhikr, he destroys those people. Imagine this. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or you don't understand what I'm saying? Person who follows the deen based on his desires spoils his own deen and others' deen. Puts forward excuses. In Punjabi, there's an example. Na khedange, na khedan deonge. We won't play ourselves. And we don't want to play, let others play. We don't want to correct ourselves, we want to let others correct themselves. No, reading kitab is dhikr, this is dhikr, this is dhikr, that is dhikr. Why are you wasting your time going to these gatherings and getting involved? You don't have to. All of these other actions are dhikr as well. These are the futile excuses we put forward. Is this not the case today that we have in front of us? Why? Because Allah Ta'ala's order, what is Allah Ta'ala's advice? And we make arrangements and gatherings. Allah Ta'ala is sending Ramadan for what reason? And we play games in Ramadan, waste time in Ramadan. Do you understand what I'm saying? We form gatherings and majalis and etc. and bayans. Are there speeches like this? Do you hear bayans like this in Ramadan? Nope. You won't get no advice like this anyway. So nafs, Allah Ta'ala says, look at Ramadan, look at the day of a Muslim, of a mu'min. I'll have split the day up and I've given different times in the day to do deeds. Certain deeds are performed better in certain times of the day. This is how you should pass the day. Did any sahabi pass the day away from this schedule? Did any wali of Allah pass the day without this schedule? Soon as Ramadan would occur, I swear by Allah, I would see the manner of my sheikh. Hi, hi. Subhanallah. That what would he do? He had a unique approach to Ramadan. He had the Quran. He had the Quran. And after that, he was the guest of Allah. He was the guest of Allah. And his whole life, I saw these two actions in Ramadan. And he didn't have any regard for the dunya in Ramadan. Any regard for the dunya. So brothers, to play games and waste time and don't let anybody do the itikaf properly or to remember Allah properly. Nobody can sit in the corner and do itikaf properly. We put other people. What is the meaning of itikaf? Let's look at itikaf. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. And we say, no, it's some other meaning. The meaning of la ilaha illallah is what? What is the meaning of itikaf? La ilaha illallah. This has just come out of my mouth automatically. But this time has come now in Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala says the last 10 days, total isolation, total detachment from the dunya. You shouldn't see the family members. But what do we do? In itikaf nowadays, they'll come upstairs. Families call to the masjid, go downstairs or to the left or to the right. I say that what is the point of doing itikaf in this way? It's better to sit at home and do itikaf. What is the point of doing this itikaf? Where you're meeting family members and dunya, relatives, etc. Think what I'm saying. Am I right or am I wrong? If it's wrong, then put your hands up and correct me. That such a itikaf where we are just following the tradition, it's not fard. It's not fard. If we're wasting time, that if we get something better that is mutawatir, then carry out that action. Otherwise, there'll be arguments in the masjid and gossip mongering and chit chat. It's better to do ibadah away from the masjid and itikaf. At that time, I've said, if you're going to do ibadah in itikaf, you will be following people's orders and directions and guidance. Rather, Allah Ta'ala says, when you go in itikaf, whatever you should say to yourself, whatever I do, but I will follow and do the ibadah and practice according to Allah Ta'ala's desire. But we say, no, I'm going to itikaf, I want to do this, I follow desires, and I can't rest when I need to rest, I can't do dhikr at the time of dhikr, I can't read Quran at the time of reading Quran, and carry out the acts of worship properly, because other people's schedule, and other people's pastime and time of itikaf, puts off other people. But this is the type of, this masjid looks good for itikaf, this type of masjid, sit in this corner, in a place like this, here food won't come, will it? Chapatis won't. We say, no, I'm going to the other masjid and cooked food comes and there's the dasturkhwan. We eat food, there's nice food, but sit here, isn't it? When you get dry chapati, dry bread, then you realize what is itikaf. This is a very nice masjid, and then here you'll be given a seat very comfortably in a nice corner in the masjid, and alhamdulillah, see how your itikaf passes, isn't it, Mawlana? Isn't it? No, I want to go to the other masjid where there are dasturkhwan, food mats. Imagine the Asr Salah hasn't even come on the 21st day. On the 20th day, and dhikr has even started, and food's coming from the left and the right, and chicken legs and chicken breast, and that day hasn't even passed it, and the dasturkhwan has just been picked up, the food man, and then the next food man is late. He says, itikaf for holiday. Person eats and drinks and leaves itikaf fat, and people put the necklaces of flowers around his neck, and you know this happens in our culture. Oh, Noor has come, Noor, mashallah, they see Noor. Don't know what he's eaten and drank in the masjid. When he left home, he ran from home and he's coming back, he's sucking on the mangoes. I saw in the previous itikaf that boxes of mangoes were coming to the masjid. Boxes of mangoes, like for example, there must be a brother who's supervising everything at the back of the itikaf hall and he's putting all the boxes. And I said, are these people in sitting in itikaf? Yeah, there are dishes and food, cooked food, nice tasty food and mango. I said, oh, can you make me a corner as well, a cubicle, so I can sit down and eat mangoes during itikaf? So this is what? This is also a learning, because Ramadan is here to teach us, to remind us.
Oh, no, no. But before Ramadan, we put our name on the list of the kaf. Yeah, and we know that why you put your name. Hazrat, I put my name because it gets full, the masjid, and you got to put your name down in advance. But nobody comes here to this masjid. Why is this masjid not full in itikaf time? Why? What's the reason for this? We have to ask ourselves the question again. The ashik looks for the corner isolation where it's just me and my mahbub Allah and I want nobody else in itikaf. That's it. And the ghair, the people who are strangers, they look for roti, food, bread. Where's the food mat? That's the khwan in the itikaf. Let me sit near there. Do itikaf near their brothers, become human beings and Sufis, and leave these dunyawi and nafs worship, and come towards the right deen, and stop playing games. Stop playing games. So brothers, shirk. We come back to the subject. So if this is not shirk, then what else is shirk? Itikaf, we're sitting for food and bread and enjoyment. Is this not shirk? The person doesn't even know the understanding of itikaf. Okay, oh, all year long that he walks around the world. Oh, here's the mutakif, he did itikaf. You know, there he goes, the person who did itikaf. He does itikaf every year, he's pious, etc. And it becomes difficult to hear the praises of the people. Itikaf is a massive, massive ibadah, act of worship, and a big result is attained. Who can tell us what is the result of itikaf? Allah Ta'ala, if He gives us tawfiq, do dua to sit in the itikaf in the khanka, if Allah gives an opportunity. Where apart from dhikr, there's no other noise that you hear. No other noise. There were great days, the old days. Why, Malana? Isn't it? There were good days we used to go and do itikaf. Once I saw people started to cry at the end of itikaf. I said, are you crying for Eid? Our Qari Sahib was crying. Qari Iqbal Sahib. First itikaf, I dragged him there. I said, why are you crying? He said, my heart, I don't feel like leaving here. I don't want to leave here. And this happens sometimes. Does it happen anywhere else? Tell me. Why not? Why is a person doing this? There's a reason that the person reacts like this. The reason is because Allah Ta'ala started to love that individual. Love the individual. All day long, all month long, the individual was looking for Allah, loving Allah. And now, what has happened is that Allah Ta'ala likes that person, desires that person, prefers that person. If Allah Ta'ala loves a person, then how will he leave the house of Allah? How? Can a person leave the house in which there is love and there is affection and there is closeness? Will Allah Ta'ala let that person leave? If, for example, you come to my house and I love you, I'll say, please stay another day. No, no, I've got to go. No, please stay another day. So will the beloved let his beloved go? No, he will extend the discussion. Okay, so what did you do that day? And then what did he say? And then where did you go after that? He says, no, no, we finished the discussion. I've got to go now. But you say, no, no, let's carry on talking. Because I don't want to let the guest go. So Allah says, when I make you my beloved, then that person cries, Allah, I can't leave your house now. End of itikaf, people were crying. They didn't want to leave the house of Allah. What is this closeness, attachment? So this proves that Allah Ta'ala loves you. Allah Ta'ala's love came to you and you came to His home and He didn't want you to leave. And this feeling, if this stays for the rest of the year, then imagine how we will be as good human beings. This can happen if we do the right amal at the right time. So my brothers, my beloved, my colleagues, this is a big sin to do shirk of the nafs. So now we understand that shirk is coming from the desires. We are worshipping the idol of our desires. Let's do dua that today Allah let us break the idol of our desires. And who should we obey? Allah's orders. So when the orders come from within, make us scared and afraid of dunya and worshipping Allah. That is the idol, the statue within. And we do shirk because we worship the statue, the idol of desires. This is shirk, isn't it? That if we prostrate just before we obey the orders of the desires, that is the mushrik there straight away. Ajeeb hadith come to my mind. Ajeeb hadith. And they are great hadith. They are hadith that make people shake. But they're coming now, so I won't stop. Because this is my habit. I don't stop when I start. Doesn't matter where I am. Doesn't matter where I am. Allah Ta'ala, if He puts the points into my mind, when Allah Ta'ala, sometimes Allah Ta'ala doesn't inspire, but when Allah Ta'ala inspires and the words come and the thoughts come, then I will continue. I won't stop because these hadith are coming to my mind and I will continue to speak. Subhanallah. First hadith, listen. First hadith. And these hadith are coming one by one into my mind with the fadl of Allah. With the fadl of Allah. So now, shirk. Yes? So first listen to the hadith number one of the shirk of the nafs. The obeying the desires. That to save ourselves from the shirk of the desires. The nafs. Let me give you the meaning of the hadith first. So how can we identify the shirk that is there within our hearts, in our souls? To save ourselves from shirk or to identify the shirk of the nafs is so hidden that this shirk is penetrates to the depth of the layers of the person. Just like the ant on a dark night within a dark mountain, within the dark rock on the dark boulder, you cannot see the ant, can you? And that's how that shirk penetrates the layers of a person, and that is a riya, showing off pride and showing off to people. Now let's listen to the next hadith about riya, and this is shirk, but we don't consider it as shirk. That this is all Tibarani, these hadith, hadith from Tibarani, some Bayhaqi, some Nisa'i, and
I won't give you separate narrations and references, but these hadith are from these great kitabs, good kitabs. So on the day of judgment, first and foremost, the person will be accounted. The people with the high status of man will be accounted for. First and foremost, they will be called for to Allah. Those first, grade number one, are those who have a link with ilm, the knowledge. After the Prophet of Allah, remember this, the person who has put an attachment with his, with the Qur'an, we call this Qur'an, isn't it? Knowledge, all knowledge emanates from the Qur'an. Al-Miludani, Al-Midahir, Al-Mibatani, they all emanate from Kitab Allah, the Qur'an. So the person has a link, who has a link with the Qur'an in any way or form, any way from a knowledge person, a hafiz, a qari, person who's memorized Quran or recites the Quran nicely, mufassir, or a scribe, or a muhaddith, hadith, everything emanates, all knowledge emanates from the Quran. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, on the day of judgment, the first person to be called to Allah will be counted for his deeds is that person who has the highest rank from amongst the ummah. And they will be called first. The people, the scholars, the learned people, the alims who have the learning, the link with the Quran. Hafiz sahib will be called, Qari sahib will be called. In the hadith we have the words Hafiz and the Qari. So you, they will be called. Allah will say that I made you a great person in the world. Subhanallah, after the Prophet, you had the highest rank, Mawlana sahib. You are the scholar, the man of knowledge, you are the ilm. You are the high maqam, high status, high rank. Imagine. Imagine, you are made the deputy of the Prophet. So come, give us your hisab. Account for your deeds. Ya Allah, I did tabligh and I read Quran in a good way. I did this action, so many children. I taught them hifz, I was a qari. I used to recite Quran in hiding. 10 juz, 15 juz, sometimes 10 Qurans I completed. 15 Qurans I completed. I did this action, that action. And that person will be called to the court of Allah and he will present his deeds. The greatest, you could say, believer from the ummah. Those who had the knowledge, the ilm, the link to Allah. I swear by Allah, great status, great rank. And those people who look after this status and preserve this status, I swear by Allah. I swear by the person who preserves the status of him being an alim, by looking at his face, a person becomes a believer. If that person honors his status and doesn't trample on it, Hazrat Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahmatullahi, I think it was his story or somebody, other sheikh, people said, Hazrat, how comes this occurs? That Hindus in Hindustan, in India, in the Indian subcontinent at that time, that when they would pass by the village, then they would recite the kalima. They would recite the affirmation of faith. And was Shah Kashmir Ramtai. Just this is recent in the previous generation. Who were the Sahaba Ikram then? They had the nisbat, the connection with the Quran. And today we don't even know the adab, the manners of the Quran. I swear by Allah, we don't even have adab for the Quran. I tell you the truth. We don't have adab, we don't have the manners. So this is such an action. Those people who had a link with the Quran, a connection with the Quran, and nisbat the Quran in any way with the hifz of Quran or as a qari, a good reciter, or learning knowledge from the Quran, or an alim or a scholar, all links connection with the Quran, then that person becomes the best person in the world. And that person who preserves that role, who preserves that standing, he doesn't run after the dunya, running after the dunya, asking for dunya, rather the dunya runs after him and gives to him. Say subhanallah. I've started speaking now, isn't it? So I will speak the haq. Never will you see a person who has a link with the Quran that he extends his hands and says, please give to me, please give to me. Allahu Akbar, I've never heard this, I've never seen this. Isn't it, Mawlana Sahib? Am I right or am I wrong? We never heard this before. Never. The person who has the nisbat with the Quran, who begs for the dunya, hi, hi, hi. How can this be? That azeem tareen individual, after the Prophet, if you want to see anybody who is successful, then look at those people who have a connection with the Quran. That those people who were, mashallah, who were those who had learned from the Nabi, from the Prophet of Allah, that those people who saw the Sahaba and became Muslim, even today, if somebody has a connection with the Quran, who has a strong connection with the Quran, who preserves that status and honors that status of the Quran and the knowledge, then he doesn't need tabligh. Even if you stand that person up in one gathering, people will see his face and start to cry. And they will realize that a pious person is within us. Forget about talking. Just to see that person, they will realize what is iman. Brothers, am I right or am I wrong? We don't have enough time. Otherwise, this subject is very vast and deep and great. Yes, so let's continue. Janab Ali, so there was a great individual and he'll be called on the day of judgment. And Allah will say that, are you saying to me, I'm your Rabb? He'll say, yes Allah, you are my Rabb, you are my Lord. Allah will say, then what did you desire due to the knowledge you learned? Did you want fame, status, money, taka, and respect and fame? And you made a factory to make money. Was there any lillahiyat in your actions? Allah lillahi deenil khalis, Allah Ta'ala says. Did you not hear what I said in the Quran? Wad'u, Allah Ta'ala says, that when you worship me, when you prostrate to me, when you remember me as a qari, due to the ilm of a qari, or as the qarat of a qari, or as the ilm of an alim, in whichever way you learn of the knowledge I gave you, and you worship me, Allah says, I need one thing, khalis, I need sincerity, purity, as I said in the Quran. I gave you a great status, high status. Why didn't I give Quran to Zayd or Bakr? Why didn't I make him an alim? Why didn't I make this person an alim? From millions I selected you, Allah Ta'ala says. From millions I selected you. And some people are zalim, that they have the Quran in their hearts and they forget the Quran. No importance to the Quran. And there'll be a very bad conclusion and consequence. They have the Quran in their hearts and it's Ramadan and they're wasting their time in fuzuliyat, waste of time activities in Ramadan. Total futile actions, waste of time actions, nonsense actions. And maybe they will be those hafidh whose parents' earnings were not halal, and through haram rizq for fame and showing off, they made the kids hafiz and alim. Oh, look at my son, he's a hafiz. Look at my son, he's an alim. He's a scholar. He's good. He's pious. They made the children scholars and hafiz to show to people. To show, because they had riya, they had shirk in their hearts, and they wanted to send their child into the dunya. Oh yeah, he'll be an alim, a hafiz, and he'll live in the dunya and he'll earn money. Oh look, he's a hafiz, he's an alim, and yeah, this is his profession. And when we see another person coming in the darkness, oh no, 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 yes, then they go to the opposite end, because they are prostration and the drinks are there at the same time. This is the condition. Yes, so they make the appearance like the sheikh, and then also acts out the actions like a thief. So dunya is there, deen is there, and dunya is there. Ilm is there, hifz is there, and dunya is there. Try to earn both. Show sincerity and act like a thief in the world. No, 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 I did this all for Allah. But today, nowadays, a lot of things people do is for dunya. Oh, please give some money, or let's do this together. I've got ilm, I've got knowledge. Come, trust me, and I can show you solutions, X, Y, Z. Tell me. The alim, the person who is an alim, the hafidh, does he need an introduction to society? Even if now a person, he doesn't graduate as an alim from India, and they're looking for him in the masjids, which masjid will I be given the job in, and how much will I be given as a wage, a salary, and what type of alim role will I be given? No, 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 200 is not enough, 300, no, 300 is not enough, 400, or etc. We'll do it like this. We'll make a deal like this. Why? Shirk. If the shirk, a person's worshipping his nafs, and he is carrying out the actions of deen for the sake of making mal and money and wealth. But if a person says that I am going to go on this journey and on this career path and subject of learning ilm, of Quran and ilm, and then I can also earn dunya. I've heard from my own ears a person from this locality, in this area, he was giving a siyah to his brother. Look, become an alim, study ilmiyat, see how many people will come after you. I did this the same as well myself. I did this for this reason. And I'm opening all other avenues for this, madrasas, and you'll get known and status. Why are you studying other things? Study this subject and you'll become famous. People will give you money. But the first person who will be presented on the Day of Judgment, the hafiz, the madrasa principal, the sufi, the alim, the qari, or a wali of Allah, no question. Allah's court will be there. Allah Ta'ala will call people, and Allah will say, come and set and present your deeds that you implemented. So today, mashallah, if you got the link with the Quran, if you understand that you learn ilm for the sake of Allah, then you would not beg in the dunya. You would have trust in Allah. You wouldn't be trying to grab money from people from all different avenues and angles just because you're an alim and hafiz and they trust you. So Allah Ta'ala says, if I give rizq to the dunya, will I not give you rizq? Will I make you stay hungry in the world, in the dunya? And your children, you think they will stay hungry? If you didn't have trust in Allah, then why did you put the Quran in the hands of your children? My Hazrat, he ordered, I swear by Allah, that in our area, in our locality, in the village area, what would occur? This is how the Quran is spreading today. The children in the evening would go and ask for food and bread at the doors of the people's houses. And people would look at the children at the doors and give them the leftover bread. Who's come? Oh, the children have come from the madrasa, those who study in the masjid, the Quran. That's how we treat the children in our countries. This is the way that we look at the deen. La ilaha illallah, Pakistan and Indian subcontinent. What game is being played there? What respect do we have for the deen? Will we not have to answer to Allah for this mistreatment of the students of Islam? But when there's a student studying other subjects, how we respect them and prepare for them, so much funding for scholarships, for educational subjects in the world, but today the students of Quran and their parents, they run around, and the principals of the madrasas, they run around asking for money. That we have to teach the children, we need resources and funds, and this is the link and respect of the Quran. Allah will call the person who has the link with the Quran at the Day of Judgment, and Allah will call him forward, and Allah will say, make the decision on this person. He will be judged to have had shirk in the world and acted out the sin of shirk. Imagine the scholar, the hafiz, who has a link with the Quran, is the deputy of the Prophet. And on the Day of Judgment, he will be included in the group of people who did shirk, the mushrikeen. Imagine why. There's a reason for this. So this is the action of shirk, to follow the desires, to worship the desires. The second person will be called, those who would give sadaqat, charity, spending money. This masjid, make this masjid my name, put my name on the board, and name this madrasa after me, and put this in the masjid, and put this decoration in the masjid, and put the lights here, and move them from here to here, and let's open up a masjid. It's a very big khidmat and service that one penny of sadaqah can take a person to paradise. One penny, to give one sadaqah, to give 1 pound, to give 1 rupee, can make a person worthy and capable of Jannah. To put one brick on the wall of the masjid can give a house in Jannah to one person. But behind this, we need a certain condition. It shouldn't be a mushrik and doing this action. It should be a mu'min and carry out this action. A mu'min, a believer. A sincere believer. A pure believer. So Allah Ta'ala will call the second category. People, come forward. You gave sadaqat and charity and money. Oh, this is sadaqah jariyah. That is sadaqah jariyah. Allah will give the stamp on that person, that this person also is a mushrik, and take him to hellfire, to Jahannam. Third category of person who will be called on the Day of Judgment in the sight of Allah. These three actions we have to do, my friends, to become included in those three categories of people. Then category number one is what? Make a link with the Quran. This is the greatest status. Make your children hafiz and qari and alim. But not for the sake of earning world, not to become a role model of dunya. No. What we say, oh, he'll become an alim and he'll earn money from here, and he'll show people his ilm. There's an example of a person. He was sitting at home and he had worn a shirt and a tie, and beneath that he was wearing shorts. And somebody went to visit him, and he rang the doorbell and he said, Sardarji, what is this you're doing? What's going on today? You got a shirt and a tie on the upper half, and below that you've got a pair of shorts. And he said, the man said in response, you're mad as well. You don't understand. He said, if I don't wear shorts at home, I'm sitting at home with ease, relaxing. Why can't I wear shorts? It's easy for me, isn't it? Who's going to come here to see me? Nobody will see me. He said, then why are you wearing tie and shirt? He said, well, you know, you never know who can knock at the door. Maybe somebody formal will come. Then I've got a shirt and a tie. Maybe they'll come and see me. And I'll have to be ready. So why are you hafiz today? Oh, because sometimes I've got to go to the masjid or other gatherings or langar or food or conference, and I have to recite. And he's this person's son, that person's son. So I have to be hafiz. Respect. So then why did you take all of this profession? Then why did you spend 6 years, 5 years to become an alim? Oh, I've got to eat and drink, isn't it? We've got to make some money in the dunya. And that's why I'm studying this course, so I can become famous. Oh, I have a route to earning. My brothers, make your children the greatest and sacrifice your time and resources. Make them the hafiz and the alim and the qari. Yes, we must become this. But don't look out for jobs after that, running to masjids. Have you got a job? Can you give me the job as the imam of the masjid? No, if Allah Ta'ala has given you ilm and deen and knowledge, then Allah will provide the rizq. Allah will provide the earnings. Don't be worried about this. So this is what we have to do. Action number one, we have to learn the ilm of Allah, the Quran. And number two are those who gave charity. Take the money out of your pockets and give to the poor. Somebody shouldn't come to ask us, oh, dhalims, oh, oppressors. Create an awareness and an iman in your heart that when you smell the fragrance of Quran, then spend money, buy a ticket, airplane ticket, go to those areas where people are learning ilm and give the money to those people. But Allah Ta'ala send lana, curse on our faces and our bodies. And they come and beg to us for money. Our children are studying in this institution, this school, and they come to us begging for money. Look at Abu Hal. When we see this great month of Ramadan is coming, you should collect your money, save your money, give the money to a brother who's doing this, and please go and distribute. Those people have to leave their institutions, their countries, and come to us here to ask for money. They're forced to do this because our condition has become such that we ignore them. We don't care for them. We have no regard for them. So what can they do, those poor souls? And we'll have to answer on the Day of Judgment. But we have ghairat and we have some responsibility and shame. Then let's go ourselves to their institutions and say, Hazrat, I've come to your house and give this money. Take this money and spend this on the students. I swear by Allah, if we had this passion today, then there'd be no madrasa in the world that doesn't have air conditioning as its way of cooling the building. But today children are sweating, it's hot, and they're exhausted. we say, I'm a Chaudhary, why should I go? Is this your father's money? Who sent you to this country? Who gave you earnings? Who gave you wealth? Where did this money come from? The answer, Allah put us here. Allah gave us wealth on the day of judgment. Allah will ask us, you mushrik, go. Like a person who doesn't have belief. And you, did you give sadaqah? You did dhulam on my deen. You had money and wealth and you hoarded it in stacks. And you never gave it to those poor people who needed that money because they were learning the ilm of Allah Ta'ala's deen. So will we today change and improve? Or are you just listening to what I'm saying? If we've got shame, then alhamdulillah, go to the footsteps, to the doorsteps. Madrasa, institutions, everyone has a link. Surat, Baruch, or Dhaka, or Pakistan. Everyone has an awareness. Nobody's blind. Everyone knows. Everybody knows in my village, in my town, there's a madrasa. And this institution, and these are good students learning the ilm of Allah. And he's looking after the children, saving the deen of the people. And I, in the evening, I count my money. Once a year, I've got 10,000 zakat. In the yen, and with that zakat, I will give money to those people so they can run that institution and they can give to the needy. So I will travel there, I will go there. And that person has that intention, makes the niyah, stands up, buys airplane ticket. This is lilayat for the sake of Allah. Remember the question on the day of judgment that Allah Ta'ala will ask. So on the second station, the second category, remember the first category, Allah Ta'ala has given three categories. Remember on the day of judgment, three categories of people. The greatest category, alim, hafiz, qari, those people who had a nisbah, the connection with the Quran. Number two, those people who spend on those same people. Aha! So those people who spent on the deen, not spending on waste of time activities and building other assets and buildings and structures. All of these buildings will be wiped down with a gust of wind. Even if a storm comes or a flood comes, buildings are removed. When a storm comes or a typhoon or a hurricane or a flood, then buildings that we hoard our money and we build those buildings, they will disappear. But the person who spends on the deen of Allah, on an institution of Quran and deen, then their foundations are from the basement of the ground right to the heights of the skies and heavens. And we can't spend our money on these institutions, on these buildings and structures and framework. We can't give sadaqah to those people. We can't serve those people. Why not? Why can't we help those people today? If there's a wedding today, it's my auntie's wedding, my mummy, my chachi, then we'll buy, we'll spend money on the ticket, we'll go to India, Bangladesh, Pakistan. Why are you going? It's my auntie's wedding. We don't know that near here there are hungry children dying of hunger, starvation, nothing to drink, and they are studying in the institutions. We don't pay for them, we don't spend money. But imagine the status of a person who travels to Allah Ta'ala's lands and he spends and he assists people who are studying because they have no resources. A great maqam. Number three, category number three. The third status of person, the third rank of person, the person will have the third rank, highest rank on the day of judgment. We say, no, we didn't know about these people. The person who assigns himself to Allah, the shaheed. Imagine Allah Ta'ala has put the shaheed on the third rank, the third step, the first status, the first rank, the highest rank is the alim, the person who has a link with the Quran. Why have we rejected all of this? Due to riyah, due to shirk. We have mixed our riyah, showing off, with our actions of shirk. Beware those people whose children are studying, make a solid intention. I won't tell anybody that my child's a hafidh, he's memorized Quran. I won't show people in the world I'm doing it for the sake of Allah. Even if a child is not revising properly, see how his hifz will progress from today. If you have sincerity, purity, make niyah. I don't want to attach the learning of ilm of my child with the dunya. We are learning, my child is learning khalis for the sake of the akhirah. My child will become a hafiz and an alim. I won't tell anybody that my child is an hifz or is an alim. I will hide that in my heart and in my mind, and I won't show this off because I don't want to be included in the list of people who did riyah, who showed off. Did it for pride or for shirk. Am I right or am I wrong, my friends? And those who have learnt, then hide your knowledge. Don't show off or say I'm this and that. So this is that ilm, that knowledge. The more you hide it, the more it will multiply and spread. Its fragrance will multiply and spread. This is mushk. This is a smell, a beautiful fragrance. It cannot be hidden. Okay, third now. So first was the alim, or those who have a link with the Quran. Second category status are the people who give sadaqat, especially to those who are learning. And third is the shaheed. Allah said, you'll say, Allah, I was shaheed for your sake. Allah will say, stop speaking nonsense. You did all of this for riyah, for showing off, to show people you wanted your name included in the list as ghazi, as pious, and you wanted people to spend on your children after you passed away. You're mushrik. And these three individuals have great status if they're sincere. But what action made them a mushrik and sent to hellfire? What is that action? Riyah, showing off. Showing people of the world that I've done this, X, Y, Z, this hadith of Tabarani, Nisa'i, Bayhaqi. This is the hadith I am presenting to you, that these mushrikeen who did their actions apparently for the sake of Allah, but they were showing off. So as a Shaddad, radiyallahu anhu, is the narrator of the hadith, he said that The person whose salah is attached to showing off, whose fasting and ibadah and worship and Quran is linked to showing off, that person is a mushrik. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said this. Hadith number 2. That this mushrik who carries out actions due to showing off, showing to other people, their adha, punishment will be such that their faces will be changed and their faces will be twisted. You will not be able to identify them. Third hadith, I'll tell you the hadith. The third hadith. That in the world between the heavens and the land and the skies, the most wretched and cursed are those people. Allah Ta'ala announces that these people are cursed and wretched. The mushrikeen who did shirk due to showing off. Allahu Akbar. And then the fourth hadith, that the person who does shirk, who carries out the action of shirk, Jahannam is Jahannam, hell. And everybody knows about hell. We cannot even describe it. It's so severe. But within hellfire, there's a place, Hizbul Uzbul Huzan. It is given the definition, that place, the title. Ulama Ikram, Muftiyan, scholars are sat here, they're listening, and you would have heard this hadith. Uzbul Huzan, this place, and that space, place in hell, specially has been designed and created for those who did shirk based on showing off, not for the sake of Allah, rather to fulfill their carnal and base desires and showing off to people, and they will be thrown into that ditch in Jahannam. Oh, oh, how sad, how sad. Save yourself from the fire, my friend, save yourself from Jahannam, otherwise we will be destroyed. So now the month of fasting has come to save us. I've told you since some days that Ramadan has come to refresh our deen. Is it not refreshing our deen? Has it not come a beautiful topic to explain to us? So now Ramadan has come, fasting has come. So now the fast speaks to us. The hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, Qudsi hadith, Allah Ta'ala announces that, O my creation, all deeds that a man implements are for his sake. That, O my servant, all of the deeds you commit and implement are for your sake. Why are they strange from me? Because I don't know, are you doing these deeds? Is there shirk in these deeds? So all of these deeds, you are responsible for your own deeds. Allah says, I'm not responsible. You are responsible. Why? Why did Allah Ta'ala say this? That all of your amal, my servant, are for your sake. That you do this for you. You are responsible for your deeds. I am not responsible, Allah Ta'ala says. And you will have to account for your deeds. I have no confidence in the acceptance of your deeds. I don't know how you will come to me on the day of judgment. So you keep your deeds to yourself and you present them on the day of judgment. But the fast is one deed, one such deed, one such amal. Allah says, this deed is mine, it's for my sake, and I myself will give personally the reward for this deed. Say Subhanallah, say Subhanallah, say Subhanallah. And here we hear the answer to this danger that we've learnt in this discussion today, that we are in danger, constant threat. We are doing actions. How do I know that I'm not showing off to others when I'm doing these actions? But let's learn today how to eliminate 100% the danger of showing off and doing shirk, which we are worshipping. Allah has given the cure in this hadith. Subhanallah. Why has Allah Ta'ala liked this action so much? Allah Ta'ala has put so many other ibadah to the side. What quality is there in fasting? Allah Ta'ala says one fasting person can never be a person who's showing off. Why? What is hidden within fast? That's why Allah Ta'ala says fasting is for my sake. And the 30 fasts that you keep in Ramadan, from here I will recognize you. Are you my friend or are you against me? Allah says one deed you did purely and sincerely, the riya, showing off, cannot come into fast. Child, old man, tall, short, big, small, you are all sat here. How do I know that who is fasting from amongst you and who is not fasting? Are you fasting or not? How do I know? Do I know? Has anybody, somebody may be ill, unwell, weak, frail, he may not be fasting. We can't say that he cannot fast. Somebody may not fast because he doesn't want to. But we say, no, he looks pure and innocent. He's fasting and this person is not fasting. But my Mawla, Allah, our Lord says that this is such an ibadah that I know, and the fasting person knows, that when he is going to break the fast, when he's going to eat, when did he have suhoor, when did he have iftar? And Allah Ta'ala says that I make this action of fast so great. And the person after fasting, the person becomes so good and improved, that the same person who did shirk, who was a mushrik, and that person who is contaminated, his deeds with riya, with showing off, Subhanallah. The person who keeps fast, whether he's a child, a young child, the child becomes so cautious and aware of Allah. You can see that person in darkness, alone in isolation, never will a drop of water go into that person's mouth. Shaitan is not there, but nafs, 100,000 nafs, reminders come, who's watching? Break the fast. You can eat, drink, but the person will never break the fast unless there's something that the deen allows us to do that. But otherwise, as a thief, he will never break the fast and cheat on his fast. Look at the shan, the greatness of Allah. A fasting person, a big ibadah. What's the quality inherent within fasting? Not that we pray tarawih in the night, or we do this action, that action. No other quality. Allah loves this action, that the person
is not showing off. Wad'u, Allah Ta'ala says, purely, sincerely for my sake. Allah Ta'ala says, you are sincerely doing, do my ibadah. Wad'uhu mukhlisin al-huddin. Allah says, call unto Allah, sincere in your faith in Him alone. Wad'uhu mukhlisin al-huddin. In Allah alone. Now the fast tells us. Have you seen and had and understood? Allah Ta'ala said, I gave you 30 days of Ramadan to save you from Raya, showing off. Have I not saved you? How many days, O madman, O jahil, illiterate person? 30 days have passed and you've come out of this action of Raya. So the rest of the days of Ramadan, after Ramadan, why don't you save yourself from the shackles of showing off? So Allah Ta'ala announces, you will be saved from Raya. Do that amal that I've made you do in Ramadan, that will eliminate showing off and that will continue for the rest of the year. Why don't you grab hold of that action? Because Ramadan came to us to eliminate showing off, and the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't exercise his efforts and struggle as much to explain this amal as much as other amal. So, subhanAllah, that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, explained to us, he made effort to explain us the wastakthuru. The word kathira has come in this hadith. Wastakthuru, about which deed, about which action? Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. That recite the name of Allah in abundance, regularly, in high quantity. So it stated that this is the cure for Riyah. This is the cure, the solution. That if you remember Allah Ta'ala's name, the person who's fasting, in the state of fasting, Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is hukam, that fasting person, the greatest deed, the best deed to do whilst you are fasting, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, is to do the dhikr of Allah. Do it kathira. So if you carry on doing this during the state of fasting, this is the barakah of fasting, that the fast doesn't let you come towards raya. The fast teaches us this. Fastakthiru, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that pay attention to this deed, to this amal, this action. Do the dhikr of Allah in abundance, and the dhikr of Allah has such barakah and blessings that it doesn't let that person come to riyah. And the protection of riyah is what? Dhikr in abundance. The dhikr in abundance. And this is the noor of fast, the noor of Ramadan. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that do dhikr of Allah in high quantity. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Don't leave the action of dhikr of Allah. So the fast teaches us this, that 30 days you did the dhikr of Allah, Allah save you from riyah, showing off. And if you did dhikr then for the rest of your life and did it in high quantity, high abundance, then will showing off come to you. Showing off and riyah will never be in your life. You will never carry out deeds for showing off to become famous and known to people. But these illnesses and sins are committed is that when you've forgotten Allah, when you don't do the dhikr of Allah, and you are living the life of negligence and being lazy, then all of the sins, they gather and they are hoarded within you because you are showing off. وَاثْتَكْثَرُوا أَشْهَدُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So my brothers, my friends, Ramadan has reminded us, has come to refresh our deen, that if you leave the dhikr of Allah, fasting is teaching us this. If you have left the dhikr of Allah, then remember that there's total danger that you will be busy and occupied in riya, and all of your good qualities of the deen will start to become diminished. So there's only one protection, one deed that can protect our deen, our iman and our fast and our life from showing off, is the dhikr of Allah. That's why our pious predecessors have emphasized so strongly that do dhikr of Allah in high quantity in Ramadan. And not just in Ramadan, we were given this deed and given the tariqah, the method in Ramadan, and given encouragement that do dhikr in this way, this much, and in this high quantity, that you kept fast and the dhikr, and don't leave the dhikr of Allah. Never leave it, so that the noor of Ramadan, the light, can continue after Ramadan. Those amal I'm telling you to do in Ramadan, the way I'm telling you to recite Quran and to pray salah and nafil, voluntary deeds, and to be saved from sins, that keep these actions continuous afterwards, that as long as your life is there, don't leave these deeds after Ramadan. Ramadan is teaching us that I've refreshed your iman and made you fresh, and your deen I've made it fresh, that your life, Allah Ta'ala says, your life should pass like this. And deen tells us this, that a sin like riya, which is shirk and showing off, and what should we do for the whole of our life to save ourselves from shirk and showing off, is to do the dhikr of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and give you the ability and capability that we live our lives in parallel with the dhikr of Allah. We grab hold of dhikr of Allah with strength, because we have to save ourselves from the biggest of sins that we have spoken today about, shirk and riya. We need to be safe from this, otherwise the consequences will be severe. So let's be hopeful that Allah will guide us, take the dhikr of Allah firmly, strongly. Let's promise that morning and evening, the two times Allah Ta'ala selected for doing his dhikr, Allah Ta'ala selected himself. Remember me in the morning, the person who remembers me in the morning, I will save him until the evening. the nur. And the person who remembers me in the evening, I will save him, preserving till the morning. From every shar, from every evil, Allah says, I will preserve him, protect him. Why? Because this is the barakah of my dhikr. Say subhanallah again. And that jama'ah, that congregation, that group of people who does this action, subhanallah. The dhikr will imagine their status in the akhirah. Allah, that the Hisab Kitab Allah says, you are asking how they will be treated on the Day of Judgment. Subhanallah, the person who's made this his habit, that he remembers Allah in the morning and in the evening, then what will be his mu'amalah, his situation? Allah says, you think I will call him just casually? No, he will have a unique preparation. That Jannah, that's afterwards. We'll speak about Jannah after. Allah Ta'ala says, I will speak to that person on the plain of Hashar on the Day of Judgment. Subhanallah, say subhanallah. Allah says, that they will go obviously into paradise, but on the Day of Judgment, on the plain of judgment, those people who listen to me and save themselves from Riyah and Shirk, who did dhikr in the morning, and thousands of people said, no, you don't have to do dhikr like this, you can do other actions, that's dhikr also, that's dhikr. He said, no, this is the dhikr. Allah said, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. We believe everything, the life of the mu'min is dhikr, we know that. Eating is dhikr, and to sleep is also dhikr, to go with your wife and to spend time with your wife is also dhikr, and to earn bread for your children is also dhikr. If you sit in your car with this intention, I'm going to the masjid, even driving to the masjid is dhikr. But the unique and special form of dhikr that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, which is for my sake, which will make you mine, is the dhikr la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, remembering Allah Ta'ala's name, remembering Allah Ta'ala's name, reciting Allah's name. We say, no, all other actions are dhikr. I ask you then, Quran, wadhkurullah dhikran kathira, then remember me in abundance. So what does this mean then? Then go to your wife in abundance and read abundantly and drive abundantly and eat all the time abundantly, because this is also dhikr. These are the excuses we're making, that do jama'ah and do sohbat with your wife or you'll be finished, because Allah Ta'ala said do kathira dhikr, kathira dhikr. No, kathira dhikr, the word dhikr, kathira, is about this dhikr, that we remember Allah Ta'ala's name in abundance. Allah Ta'ala says, remember me in the morning and in the evening, in the morning and in the night. Say subhanallah. This is the dhikr Allah Ta'ala is pertaining to. So don't make yourself double-minded, triple-minded, and follow your nafs and shaitan, that we don't want to play and we don't want to let others play. We don't want to correct ourselves and let other people get corrected. Allah Ta'ala says, they don't understand that sit down in this day and age in a majlis and remember Allah in the heart, in the and do dhikr of Allah's name. Allah says that, no, you speak about that jama'ah, that those people in the world who did dhikr of Allah, and you think shirk is in the life, they have no showing off, no shirk, no waste of time activities, waste of time discussion or haram, earning, consuming. No, forget about Jannah, that's after. Allah Ta'ala says, I will treat them so greatly on the day of Hashr, and such I will show them maqam, their status, that the prophets, the Salihin, the Sadiqeen, all of their jaws will drop. That which qawm is this? Which people are these? Who are these people? For them, there will be thrones, rubies and pearls decorated on their thrones. Their faces will shine like the moon on the 14th night, and such noon will splash around them, and noor will rain down on their bodies, and people look at them, their faces, and be shocked, and their hisab kitab people will be drowning in the sweat on the Day of Judgment, and these dhakireen will be sat on their thrones, and they'll say, Allah, who are these people? Allah will say that these are the people who lived amongst you in your society, but they understood that on every page of the Quran, Allah said, do my dhikr, do my dhikr, do my dhikr, wadhkur isma rabbik Bukratan wa asila. Allah Ta'ala says, recite my name, Allah, 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 morning, evening, day and night, two times I selected. Allah Ta'ala says, and the rest of the time you can do what you want, but the barakah of dhikr will be so great that the person who calls me in the morning calls me in the evening. Allah Ta'ala says, he's calling me in the morning until the evening, I will keep that person with me, and the person who calls me in the evening, I will keep him with me until the morning, I will protect that person, and the angels will surround that person, no ill effect will come around that person. This is the maqam, the status of those people who came from far and wide, different localities, different towns, different generations. One reason, sole reason they gathered in the masjid, and that was the dhikr of Allah. That's why we're collected and gathered. Wa akhiru da'wahum, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.